looking forward to this message series. I've never studied the man Peter. You know, everybody thinks Peter's the first pope. Peter won't the first pope. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You know? Peter was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we try to make people larger than they really are. I mean, he's big enough without making him something he wasn't. Okay? This guy's huge. Unbelievable who this guy is. If Peter's anything, he's real. And when I study my Bible, I see it. He just jumps right out at you. And so in this series, we want to talk about being transparent and living a life of transparency. Okay? So if you're ready to roll this new series this morning, Living a Life of Transparency, Being Real. First of all, several things. Do you know what real means? I'm sure when you think of real, several things pop to your mind. But here's what real means. It means not being false. Means genuine. It means not imaginary. Okay? Or not some ideal. It's real, man. It's not something imaginary. I think for so long in the Christian life, and I know especially in a lot of different backgrounds, especially mine, we go to church, we become a Christian, we get this code of conduct that we're supposed to live by. But it gets all mingled. It gets out of the Bible. It gets man-made. And your hair's got to be this linked, and your clothes have got to be this way. And the world, they just look at us like we're nuts, man. I'm sorry. They look at us as, I can never do that. We come off as plastic when we all look the same. Are you hearing me say? That's the fellowship church. Yeah, they all wear this. They all look like this. They all say this. Why don't we be like Jesus? Amen? Come on. You don't need my rules to have you look a certain way or act a certain way. It comes off as phony and plastic, and you can't live it. You're going to collapse before it's over with. I've known several pastors, even my home pastor, who had such a strict legalistic set of rules he lived by. He had a nervous breakdown. He came to Florida and apologized to me. Had dinner with me over at Howard's and said, I'm sorry for putting all that, he didn't say this, I'll say it, crap on you. Amen? He was a lot nicer than I am. But it broke his heart. How many have tried to live the Christian life because of a set of rules or standards or something like that, and you just couldn't do it? Can I see your hand? You tried to hit the mark, and you just kept missing it. Amen? Well, that's what happens in the Christian life. Amen? Doesn't mean that we don't want to follow him, be a disciple. The Bible says, be ye what? Holy as I am holy, says the Lord. God's really concerned with our heart. I sang it last week. Whether you're dumb or super smart, I'm so glad he's looking at my what? Heart. And if you're ever going to get to the place where you're real, and it is not easy to do, being real is very difficult, especially for a pastor. It's really difficult. It is so hard. But I tell you what, over the last few years, the Lord has been helping me. He's really been helping me. Quite frankly, the way you see me dressed, this is dressed up for me. Dressed up for me used to be the tie and the suit. And I'm not putting you down if you wear like that, but I did that for years. But if you really want to know who I really am and how I really like and what I like to wear and I like to be comfortable, this is really me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying, well, praise the Lord. I wasn't looking for no applause. But what I'm trying to say is that it's just hard, man. It is just hard. It's hard for me to talk like this. It's hard for me to talk about my home pastor. But it's the truth. It's the truth, whether you want to believe it or not. Being real. That's what we're talking about. And I know I got off a little bit, but this is important over the next several weeks. I'm here to try to help you and want to be a blessing. It means to be transparent. What does transparent mean? Passing light. Obvious. It's like that water bottle I was drinking out of a little bit ago. It's clear. And you know, that's the nice thing about one of them clear water bottles. You can see if anything's in your water. Amen. Well, that's what the world needs to see. They need to look at us, and we need to be transparent so they can see if there's anything inside of us. Amen? That, and I hope what we've got is that light of the world that's inside of us. Amen? That they can see a changed life. That we love the Lord. No, we're not perfect, but we have a perfect Savior. He's changed our lives. We love Him. We're still a work in progress, But he's changed us, and we're trying to live for him. Transparent. It means obvious. You ever known anybody who's a Christian, and you look at them, and you watch them, and you talk to them, and it's just obvious they're a Christian. Amen? It's just obvious. Them folk love Jesus. Amen? And it might not even, they might not even say the right words. Praise Jesus, Lord of God. They might not say all that. It might be you can just watch them, the way they live, the way they love their family, their wife, their children. They go to church, they read the Bible. It could be just a silent thing, amen? But you could, it's just obvious they know the Lord. Boy, that's what I want to be said of me. It's to be genuine, true, real, sincere. Is that hard to be or what? Say, come on, come on. Is that hard to be? It's hard to be that way. That's what God wants out of us. Keep looking. There's one man in the New Testament the Lord seemed to put the spotlight on so that we could be challenged and encouraged to live in reality and transparency. One man, when I read the New Testament, there seems to be this spotlight on him. And we're going to look at it the next several weeks. The light just keeps shining on this guy. And we get to see all his warts and wrinkles and mistakes and problems and his successes. It's crazy. That man is Simon Peter. All right? That's who he is. And I've never thought of it like this. I've never seen it like this. The way we get our sermons together is usually my wife and I, we always have breakfast together every morning. And we talk because she does all the graphics for the worship guide that you have. And then I get back from her and I get with Raj because he does all the graphics you see on the screen. And that's how we come up with a series. And both she and I were talking. And it's just like, God, this guy is really real, isn't he? What's the deal here? And so I started studying him a little closer. And that's what we're doing. So let's go with this study this morning. See what we can find. He thought and responded. Peter thought and responded just like you and me. He didn't have angel wings. How many have ever met somebody, don't raise your hand, but you met somebody and they thought they did? Say. I let people down all the time. I let people down all the time. I occasionally have somebody say something, Pastor, I'm disappointed in you. You didn't do this, that, or the other. Here's my standard line. Get in line. I let her down almost every day. I let my children down every day. I do, man. Okay? I don't have a glorified body yet, do you say? If you were, do, I'd like to see you do something. You know, the point is, Peter was just like you and me. Let's look at it. Several things about his life real fast. He asked a bunch of questions. He was fearful. He was pushy. He was emotional. He lacked faith. He was self-centered. He got angry. He cussed. He made promises he didn't keep. He denied the Lord. He felt horrible and useless. How many have felt like that before? Just horrible and useless. How can I do anything for the Lord? That's how he felt. Look at it. Keep looking. Peter was exactly like most Christians. Watch it. Both carnal and spiritual. Both carnal and spiritual. What does that mean? That means he gave into the flesh. And at the same time, many times he was full of the Spirit. Does that sound like us or what? Say, oh no, I'm just always spiritual. You just are lying. I want you to come up to me after the service today and tell me, Clark, I'm always spiritual. And over the next week, I will make the attempt to follow you. I'm serious. And I want to talk to your wife. I want to talk to your children. I want to talk to your neighbors. I want to call your former bosses, and I'll see how spiritual you are. Do you see where I'm coming from? I mean, we can act that way. And I'm not saying that's the goal, man, to be Spirit-filled. But do we always do it? No. And that's Peter. And that's why I tell people often, aren't you glad that God gave us Peter? I mean, I said it in the earlier service. I said it a little bit ago, I think. Aren't you glad there's a guy in the Scripture that we can pick on? He's just like us. And that's not making excuses for you. We still need to strive. And that's my goal today, is to help us. Let's keep looking. What do we got? Peter, he was real. That's what he was. He was real. Let's look at Simon Peter for just a little bit, just some things about this man. Simon was a common name. Can you say that with me? Simon was a common name. There are at least seven Simons in the Gospels alone, okay? So it ain't something fancy about his name that did it. Let's look at something else. Simon Bar-Jonah was his full name or his legal name. It means Simon, the son of Jonah, or John. He was Simon, the son of Jonah. We don't know a lot about this guy. We don't know anything else about his parents. Nothing. Okay? So if you think you got to be some superstar, everybody knows everything about you, to qualify to be real, you don't. Amen? If you feel like you're just common, he was a fisherman. Amen? Well, I ain't working in seminary. I can't be very spiritual. He didn't either. Amen? Come on, you can be real. There's no excuse making. Come on, we can't be excuse making if we're going to be real and transparent. Simon means, boy, you need to say this with me. Simon means hearing. Say it with me again. Simon means, boy, you got to get it down. One more time. Simon means
hearing.
That's what his name means. Hearing, 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 hearing. But watch it. In Luke 6:14, Jesus also, very important you see that also, named him Peter. Simon's name means what?
Hearing.
But Jesus also named him what? Peter. Well, what does Peter mean? Let's look at it. Simon, whom he, that's Jesus, also named Peter. You'll see other times in the Bible that it says that. Let's look at his name just a minute. The name Peter. Pop it up, Raj. Peter means rock. Can you say that with me? Peter means, I need your help this morning. Come on, one more time. Peter means, people tell me when I keep doing this, you learn. And I believe it, okay? I know it's aggravating, but you'll be fine. I'll be over here in a little bit. You can have a nice week, all right? But we're going to learn while we're in the house. Come on, amen? Simon means, Lord help us. We hope the TV audience is a little better. Come on! Simon means
hearing.
And Peter means
rock.
All right, let's keep moving. You'll see in the Bible he's called Peter. That is the Greek word Petros, which means rock or stone. But just for some of our help here today, you'll also see Peter called Cephas. And so some people think, well, no, he's got another name. No, he doesn't have another name. That's Aramaic. Means the same thing. So he didn't have three names, Simon, Peter, Cephas. He had two names. Got it? Simon what? Peter. Or Cephas means rock or stone. Now, this is really important to our message today if we're going to talk about being real. Jesus changed Simon's name to what it should be. Can you say that with me? Jesus changed Simon's name to what it should be. How long are you going to be Fred the hearing and not Fred the rock? How long am I going to be Gary the hearer and not Gary the rock? I mean, here's what I'm talking about today. When it comes to being real as a Christian, we say stuff like this. Oh, I've been going to church all my life. What's that got to do with anything being real? Having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Say. If we take you and just put you in a church when you're a little baby, is that going to make you a Christian? Say. And take you every week? And a lot of churches don't preach the gospel, so what you just said is meaningless. You can be worse off than if you ever went at all to some churches. They don't believe the Bible, don't teach the Bible, they screw it all up, they don't tell you what it's talking about. Oh, you can't believe the Bible. Met a guy last week. He said, I'm a lay preacher. I said, well, great, congratulations. And we talked. I was doing a little business with him, trying to get something fixed. And then he told me this. He said, I am Christ-centered, not Bible-centered, because you really can't trust the Bible. And you know, it's important that we're Christ-centered. So he's telling me this, which is the wrong person to tell that. And I told him, he gave me an example of how in the Old Testament you see, you know, like if a child would be rebellious against his parents, it would be stoned. That was the law. And he knows his God would never do that. Well, that's the God of the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. Hey, I don't like all the things that God did either. I talked on Moses and the Exodus this morning. I didn't like the fact that all the Egyptians were drowned in the water. But that's what happened. And we can't wish this stuff away. So I told him, I said, it's not verses like that that bother me, sir. It's verses like this one over in Revelation that says, if I add to or take away from this book, he'll take my name out of the book of life. That's the one that bothers me. You know? And so here's my point. Listen to me. Here's my point. We can say things, I grew up in church. We can say things like, I was christened. We can say things like, I was saved. That's a good word. I was born again. But if we're not careful, we can just, or I taught Sunday school, or I had this little pen where I never missed for 8 years. Listen, you can say all that, and you can remain over here in just hearing and never be rock solid. Are you hearing me today? We need to watch it. We need to be real careful that we're just, you know, it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard being real. So let's keep moving. How many are just all messed up already in this message? You're like, gosh, the guy's like got problems. You know, my wife tells me I have an imaginary friend that I talk to on stage. Especially I like to pick fights with. So I know I'm a little crazy, so it's already out. Amen? You try to figure it out. It ain't easy. Hearing is one thing, but being rock solid is another. Say it with me. Hearing is one thing, but being rock solid is another. My goal and our goal for life is, if we're going to be real, man, we got to be rock solid. So how do I get rock solid then? That's the problem. How do I go from just listening or hearing or going to church or doing this to where it becomes a reality in my life? That's my goal this morning. At least we're going to try to get there. Here's what James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm hearing, oh, I'm a rock. I'm hearing, oh, I'm a rock. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you going to be real or phony? James 1:22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluitive naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, say it with me, and not hearers only. And bless your heart. That's something we say in the South when we're fixing to be ugly. Well, bless your heart. But anyway, listen. Some of you are here today, and you think that your being here today somehow in your mind is going to score you brownie points with God or make you spiritual. It's not. Okay? I mean, we even come to church sometime for the wrong reason. I mean, I'm glad you're here, but we're here to worship Jesus Christ today. Amen? It's not even about us. It's about Him today. We're here to grow. We're here to come and listen and learn and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's just tough sometimes. We're hearing, but we're not doing the Word. Let's keep looking. Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if I come and I just hear, but it doesn't change my life, it doesn't affect me at all, I'm like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself in the morning. Oh, I look great. Look, don't look great. But then you go throughout the day, you've eaten food, you've done all kinds of stuff, your hair is blown, what you got, if you got any, got all kinds of problems, and guess what, you go your way and you forget what you look like, what kind of man that you were. But watch this, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, look, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed. I think God's looking for some real people to bless. I really believe that. Amen? Not just real on Sunday morning. Look at me, I'm spiritual. But you're going to leave here and you're going to go home with your wife. You're going to go home with your parents. And then you're going to go to school. You're going to go to school. Are you different? Say. Aren't a lot of us different? Say. How many of us have been different? We go to church on Sunday, but somehow through the week we change. Come on, be honest. I have. I've done it many times. It happens. We go from being rock back to hearing. Want to be real today. Keep looking. I knew this would be crazy this morning. Peter's name always appears. Now listen, a little bit more on Peter. His name always appears first when the 12 disciples are mentioned in Scripture. Okay? Did God do that because he's super special or he's the main guy? I'm not so sure. I know he wants us to pay attention and look and see who this guy is. Look at it. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. Now look how Matthew put it. Say it with me. The first. Simon. Okay? Something else you see as you study the scriptures carefully, Peter stands out as the leader and the spokesman. You'll see that when you read your New Testament. Something else, it's a little strange. The 12 are also arranged in your Bible at different times in three groups of four disciples. You'll hear them mentioned in groups sometimes. And they won't all be there at one time, but watch it. Peter is always mentioned first in his group. So whether it's the 12 or whether it's his group, he's always mentioned first. It's just sort of strange. And of the three groups, Peter's is always mentioned first. If there's going to be a group, his group comes first. What am I saying? I don't know. It just happens. It just happens, man. What does that tell me? That tells me that God wants me to pay attention to this guy, I think. He keeps putting him out front. He tells the worst things on him, doesn't he say? Do you think don't we know that the other disciples denied Jesus as well? Yes or no? Sure they did. They took tail and run. Don't have all their dirty laundry. You know? You think some of the others didn't want to fall down, or didn't want to have Jesus wash their feet? Say. Sure they. You know, how many in here, if Jesus came in and the Lord of glory came in and said, I want to wash your feet, how many of us would go, oh yeah, go ahead, that's great. Most of us would fall on our face, wouldn't we say? And we'd say, no, sir, you can't wash my feet. I got to wash your feet. Amen? See, he's just like us. All of his dirty laundry is told. He's always mentioned first. Why is that? Maybe it's because we get to look at his life a little closer, and that's what we're going to do right now. Let's keep moving. From Simon to Peter. Can you say that? From to, that's my goal today, is to help us go from Simon to Peter. From hearing to being rock solid. I see something in Luke 5, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. If we're going to be real and transparent in our Christian lives, we've got to make the move from Simon to Peter. If we're going to be real, if we're going to be transparent in our lives, we've got to make the move from Simon to Peter. We've got to make the move from Simon to Peter. And some of these things we're going to show on the screen today is what Peter did in one story in the Bible. So let's check a story out. In Luke chapter 5, there are four things that I see that can help us go from Simon to Peter. Four things, all right? You ready? They're not hard. We're going to write them down. If you got a chance to write them down. Here we go. Four things. Let's read the scripture. How did Simon go from Simon to Peter? Now here's the other thing. I'm just going to keep throwing stuff out because I've been studying all week and it's like weird stuff in my head coming out. But listen. When Peter does something wrong, guess what he's called? Simon. Almost always in your Bible, just check it out. He's called Simon. And then when he does something that's just right on, he's called either Simon Peter or he's called Peter. For example, when he called Jesus, they said, who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that, some say you're this prophet. And then he said this, he says, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he says, you're Peter. Jesus said, you're Peter, you're the rock. He was right on, man. And I think that's our problem with being real. We vacillate from Simon to Peter and from Peter to Simon. Does that make any sense to anybody? So how can I go from Simon to Peter, and how can I stay more Peter than Simon? Are you all right, Heather? You look strange. She's like, really confused. Here we go, come on. So four things, here we go. Number one, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. Now, there's some debate here. It doesn't matter to me. But over in the other Gospels, you see where Jesus called his disciples, and whether he called them and he wasn't totally in with both feet yet, truly following or not, I don't know. But I know this is where he got in. Amen? I know this is where Peter got in. This is where Peter went from Simon to Peter. Even though he forgot along the way, even though he didn't always peg on Peter all the time, even though he went like this some, this was a turning point in his life. And I think this is the key to being real. The base, the bottom, getting your feet solid. This is it. So it came to pass, etc. He was by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was. He saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were what? Say it with me. They weren't washing their nets because we're fixing to go fishing. Let's wash our nets so we can go fishing. No fisherman washes his net to get ready to go fishing, do we? Say. We wash our nets when? After we're done. After we're wore slap out. Wore out all night fishing. And that's what was happening here. Peter had been fishing all night. He was wore out. Why was he fishing all night? Let me tell you why he's fishing all night. Because at the Sea of Galilee, fish, especially the kind of fish he's trying to catch, comes up in the shallows, and they come up at night, and that's when you catch the fish. And you're going to see a picture of them coming up in just a minute. I'm getting a little ahead. But so he's wore out. He's washing his nets. Jesus comes by. He sees the two boats. All right? And Jesus enters one of the boats, which was who? Simon's. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of his boat. How do you feel when you fished all night? Say. Is there anything that wears you out hardly any more than that? Say. You out there, oh my God. Throwing the nets especially, man. You're wore out and you've washed. What does he want to do? Do you think he wants to go out in that boat right now? Or do you think he wants to go home and go to what? Bed. How do you go from Simon to Peter? Number one, you can use my boat. Would you say that? You can use my boat. Say that with me. You can use my boat. You know what? If you're ever going to go from that person that comes to church that just is a hearer, that person that comes to church and, yeah, I did this and I did that, but you're not really real, you need to give God a chance. He didn't give him the boat, did he? Did Peter say, here, you can have my boat? Say. No, he just, you can use my boat. All God wants to do with you right now to take you from Simon to Peter is just have a conversation with you. Can you give him that much? Say. If you don't want to be just always stuck on Simon, always stuck as just somebody that goes to church, adheres, but your life's not real, you're not affecting others, and Christ is not, you don't see things happening in your life for the glory of God, listen to me. You got to give him a chance. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? So that's what Peter did. He said, you can use my boat. Do you think Peter really wanted him to use his boat necessarily? Say. Probably not. You might be here today. That guy's crazy up on the platform. I don't know if I'm a listener or not. That's all right. Just listen a little, will you? Just give us a chance. Give God a chance to change your life. That's point number one. Say it with me again. You can use my... A lot of people think, hey, if I give in to God, He'll take everything I've got. He'll send me to Africa. He'll do all these things. You know, all God really wants out of you right now is, can I just use your boat? Say. Can I just use your boat? Let's look at the next thing. So that's point number one. How do I go from Simon to Peter? First of all, you got to give God a chance. Quit arguing. Quit saying, there's no way that Bible's true. It was man-made. It was this. Would you be quiet? Give him a chance. Verse 4. Now when he'd left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, I was saying earlier, that's the kind of fish they were catching in the Sea of Galilee. Matter of fact, this story is just so profound now in that region that they call that fish not a tilapia anymore. They call it Saint, say it with me, Peter's what? Fish. How many have eaten Saint Peter's fish on the Sea of Galilee? Several in the building. Isn't that the truth, say? And the way you catch these suckers is at night. When they come up in the shallows, they come up at the top of the water and you cast the net on. You don't catch them during the middle of the day. And so Peter, listen, he's in the boat. He lets him take the boat out. He's with him in the boat. And that was okay. You can use my boat. But now look at what he says to him. He says, cast out your boat a little bit, throw down the nets, and you're going to catch some fish. You know what he's thinking. You're from Nazareth. You're a carpenter. Was there a big crowd on the shore who Jesus had been speaking to? Yes or no? Absolutely. They're going to think I'm an absolute idiot. Why? Because these fish don't come out during the day. They come out when? At night. Man, this is crazy. But watch it. Simon answering said unto him, Master, watch it. We've toiled all night and taken nothing. What did you think that means? Say. These fish ain't biting, sir. And if we threw the net out at night when they're supposed to be there and it's daytime, they ain't there now. But watch what he says. We're trying to go from Simon to Peter, and we're almost done. We're trying. Say those last words with me. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down a net. Point number two. How do I go from Simon to Peter? Pop it up. At your word, I will. Say that with me. At your word, I will. Hey, look, there's a lot of crazy things in the Bible. It can be overwhelming, okay? A lot of his commands, a lot of things he says do, come and follow me, be my disciple. You know, especially if you've lived, you know, you've not really trusted him with your whole life and followed him, it can be overwhelming. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. It might not even make sense to you. Here's an example for me. It was the area of tithing, and I'm not going to get off on this too long, but it didn't make sense to me. How can I give a portion of my income to the church when I can't hardly make ends meet? Is that a good question, say? And, you know, it was just a struggle for me. And at that time, we were making maybe $500 a week as a student, and giving up 50 was rough. But my wife said, Gary, that's what the Bible teaches, and we need to trust him. He's given that, and we give back that to honor him. That's what God's word teaches. And we fought like cats and dogs over it. I told her she was stupid. And here I'm a ministry student. And you know what? She said, let's just try it for 3 months. That was 23 plus years ago. Did Clark do okay? He's done really well. God is blessed. Amen? But what I'm saying is, sometimes we see God's word and we don't understand it. We don't see how this can work out. But if you're ever going to go from Simon to Peter, here's what the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. We must believe that he is. We must believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you ever want to make that move from Simon to Peter to really being real, the real deal, you've got to say, at your word I will. Can you say that with me? At your... I don't know how I can stay in this marriage, you might say. But God says, stay committed, doesn't he? Say, stay there, be committed. Why? At your word, I will. Amen? God can do amazing... How many, let's raise your hands. When you said that in your life, at your word, I will, Lord, God helped you and showed up and he's been faithful. Can I just give a witness to the folks today so they can see it? That it does work. Going from Simon to Peter, you can use my boat, at your word I will. Number three. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. Look at it. Look at all those fish, man. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. Hey, guys, come on, help. And they came, and they filled both ships of the ships. These boats started going down. Crazy. And Simon Peter saw it. Ooh, what did I just see? Wait a minute. He was Simon, now I'm seeing Simon Peter. I'm seeing a move, ain't you? Aren't you seeing him move a little? Say. I might be making a little more out of that than I should, but I think it preaches good this morning. Amen? I'm telling you, he's doing something. He's like, you can use my boat. At your word, I will. He didn't want to, but now watch it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, say it with me, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Point number three, how do you go from Simon to Peter? You can use my boat. At your word, I will. He was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that had been taken. So was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with him. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth you're going to catch men. Look at that. Now look at what's the third point? Here it is. Third point. Say it with me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. I think part of being real, you got to lose being full of yourself. Okay? Got to lose that. That's why we aren't real. So often, especially the world sees that, man, they're good at that. They can see us. Our family sees us, don't they? Say. Listen. It's because we forget step three. Sometimes we become a Christian, we get in the Bible, we take our little courses, and we think we got a halo. You didn't get a halo. Amen? I am a sinful man, oh Lord. I can say that every day from right now to the day I die. Because I know me. I ain't had a day yet that this guy ain't sinned on this planet. Not a day yet. Every day I don't do something I should do, or many times I do things I shouldn't do. If we're going to go from Simon to Peter, if we're going to go from just hearing to being rock solid, you got to hit the deck, man. Amen? Can't you see him say, he fell down at his what? His knees. Why? He's the fisherman. He has all the answers. He knows how to do it, man. Was Peter right? Did the fish come at the top of the water at night? They fish in the shallows. Was he right? Sure he was. But God knows more than he does. And we've got to have faith in him. We've got to have faith in him. That's all God really asks out of us. We have to believe that he came to this planet. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, even though we don't understand it. That's impossible. It doesn't happen. Believe in him. Are you hearing me today? Believe in him. And fall at his feet, man. How many were lost and Christ came into your life? You had all kinds of addictions or tendencies to sin and wickedness. And Jesus Christ has come into your life and over a period of time and God's delivered you from some things in your life. Can I see your hands? Come on. Come on. Oh, Gary Clark, my wife didn't like it when I say this, but I used to always come out of my mouth, GD and F this. That's what came out of my mouth. Filth! Listen to me. How did that happen? You can use my boat. Amen? At your word, I will. You're not supposed to say stuff like that, boy. Okay. And then I start to see, it's not about keeping a list of rules. I start to see how he's God and he's holy and I'm sinful. And things that come out of my mouth and my life is not right. Are you hearing me today? Moving from Simon to Peter. Here's the last thing and we're done. And when they had brought their ships to land, say it with me, they forsook all and followed him. Wow. What a transformation in this man's life. Was he always perfect, Peter? Yes or no? No. And we're going to look at some of his struggles. And by the way, they're the same things we struggle with in the next few weeks. But the point is, buddy, this is where he got his launch. Can you feel it? Say, can you see what he was going, baby? He really got in with both feet. Can you imagine a fisherman? That's what he's done his whole life. That's what he's good at. Following some rabbi around the country now. Isn't that crazy, say? The rabbis only chose the best of the best. They didn't choose losers by the Sea of Galilee. Quite frankly, if you were going to be one of the closest ones to the rabbi, you need to have to memorize the whole five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible memorized, every single one of them. You think Peter had probably done that? Yes or no? Very doubtful. But he forsook all and he followed him. Now the last thing, and we're done with our message this morning, I forsake all and follow you, Lord. So what are the points again if I'm going to go from Simon to Peter? Here they are. Just leave it right there, Raj. I'll see if they've got it in their noggin. You can use my boat. Number two, at your word I will. Number three, I am sinful man, O Lord. Number four, I forsake all and follow you. I tell you what, if we lived in that zone of all four of those things, we would be pegging on Peter. Are you hearing me? That's where our needle would be going. But so often, that's not the way we live, is it? And people that peg on Peter, baby, and that's where we want to be. That's the real life. That's that real Christian life. And you can't hide it. You can't, man, it's beautiful. And you start giving and overflowing and touching people's lives. That's what I want for my life. From Simon to Peter, last thing on the screen, a quick review. Plain English, here's what you're saying with these 4 points. I'm willing to give you a chance. I'm willing to do what you say do, God. I know I'm a sinner and you're holy, Lord. And I'm in with both feet. Could you say that? I'm in with both feet. Where are you today? Do you see how that sure is a lot better than saying, well, I went to church when I was a kid. Well, I taught a Sunday school class. Are you real? Say. I mean, I know this is a challenge. This is tough. That's our goal right here. Can you say this today? Can you say that today? Can you say that? I really, truly, sincerely, genuinely believe in you, Jesus Christ. Can you say that? I'm in with both feet. I'm not looking for my good works to get me to heaven. I'm not looking for this or that. I believe in you, what you did on the cross. I don't believe anything else. Boy, that sure cut the crowd, the Christian world, in the small group, didn't it? Say. Can you say that today? I really, truly, sincerely, genuinely believe in you, Jesus Christ. Think about it. Amen.